Careful. Good morning. Did you know that our God reigns? He never quit reigning. He still reigns today. You know, when I sing a song like Our God Reigns there, it excites me. Does it excite you? And you know, as Christians, we shouldn't be people that are tossed to and fro by emotions, but we should have some. You know, we shouldn't be driven by emotion, but we should have some emotion, right? So when we sing a song like Our God Reigns, do you believe it in your life? You know, Tanya just gave a great testimony there. Do you believe? You know, last week we talked out of Hebrews, and we talked about the whole hall of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, going into Hebrews chapter 12. So we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses who've run this race before us. Do you believe? Do you believe that He is who He says He is? Do you believe that He can touch any situation in your life? I don't mean that you're going to walk through life without having any adversity. In fact, we're promised just the opposite of that. We're promised that we will have trials, that we will have tribulations, but that He's given us strength to endure. You're going to lose things in life. There's going to be heartaches in life. But because God reigns, we can reign too. Do you see how that works? You can make it. You know, before church started today, we were singing that song. You know, that's a difficult song to sing because of the timing and you don't have the instruments and stuff. But I felt like telling the team, we've got to sing that because it's not about performing. It's not about performing or singing for people and making people like it. It's about singing to our King of Kings that He reigns in our lives. You see, sometimes we do things because we are going to be seen. And we want to make sure it looks just so because we're going to be seen. But it's much more important to make sure the one who sees everything knows your motives behind it. You know, today we're going to talk about this very thing. Now, last week we dealt with faith and how the Bible even said that Abraham was faithful. But did you know that it said that he was, by faith, Abraham believed God and obeyed God? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed. Sometimes we think our faith and what we do are somehow separate, and they're not. What we do is a proof of what we believe. Does that make sense? I am here worshiping in a Christian congregation today. Why? Because I am a follower of Christ. My actions should reflect what I believe. I'm not in a synagogue. I'm not in a mosque. I'm not, I don't know what Hindu people worship in, but I'm not one of those either. You know, we have to get to this place where what we say and what we do mirrors what we say that we believe. Because that's ultimately the true test of who we are. You know, I think about this issue of belief and how we submit our lives to God, and it takes me back to Matthew chapter 6. So let's go to Matthew 6, if you would, today. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 8. And then I promise I'll let you sit down for at least 45 minutes to 3 hours as I preach a sermon, okay? So if you'll stand with me, we're going to read 8 verses together. We stand here together, just it's a sign of respect for God's Word. It was a practice done in the Old Testament. It's not required. You can read your Bible sitting down. God's not mad at you, but here it just kind of brings us all together. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory for men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, Pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for a wonderful time to just come together in fellowship. We have several things that we're praying for today. I'd like to lift Bob and Laura up this morning. We thank You for them. And I know Bob is probably finishing up his sermon this morning down at Baptist Home in Wilkesboro. And I just ask that You move mightily in that service. I thank You that Your hand is upon him. And Lord, here likewise, I pray that Your hand be upon all of us, that we can hear Your word and respond to it. I ask right now for discernment for each and every one of us to discern what Your will in our lives are, and Lord, to understand what Your word says for us to do. We thank You, we praise You, we love You, we give You glory and honor for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. So we've got a couple things here. The arching theme here is, don't do acts of charity or love so that you are seen. Don't do them so for the sole purpose of being seen. Now, you can't walk around hiding yourself. They have invented an invisibility cloak that the military has, by the way, but we don't have access to that. But you're going to be seen. But you don't do your charitable deeds to be seen. You don't do your good things to be seen. And then the next thing it says here is, don't call attention to yourself. If you do, man's praise will be your reward. But if you can resist that, God will reward you. In other words, if you make God your focus, He'll reward you. If you keep it done between you and Him, He'll reward you. If you do it before men so that people can say, boy, Roy's a nice guy, then I've gotten my reward from them. You know, so many years of my life I spent being kind of like a guy that had two sides to him, two personalities. One personality was my church face. We all have one. Every one of you do. Then the other side was who I actually was. And so I would go to church and, God bless you, sister. Your hair looks lovely today. And all this stuff. And, you know, it could have been a mess. And I, you know, and then I'd go home and I was a different person. That was my whole life growing up. My whole life growing up, I had two lives. I had my church life and then I had my real life. You know, who you are when no one else is watching is who you really are. You know where I learned that? Off a poster in somebody's room. What you do when no one else is watching, that's who you really are. Sometimes we struggle with this. We're social creatures. We love to be accepted. We want to be in the good graces of everyone we're around. Are we living double lives? You know, Jesus says, don't do these things to be seen. Do them in secret. And then God will reward you. When you pray, don't be long-winded. That's my fault. I do that sometimes. Don't be long-winded and make prayers for others to hear. Don't go stand out on the street corners for the sole purpose of being heard. There were people in that day that did that. Are there people here today that do that? Yes. You know them. They're Bible thumpers. They go around, they tell everybody else where they're wrong, what they need to do, and then themselves, they're living as terribly as it comes. Everybody knows it. Don't be like them. It says, go to God in your secret place, and God will hear you in secret and reward you openly. As a child, did you ever have a secret hiding place? Think back in your mind. Did you have a place when you played hide and seek with your friends that was your special place that you could hide and nobody could find you? You know, I did. I remember I had a place in my bedroom when my friends would come over, my brother and my friends and I, we'd play hide and seek in the dark when we were little. I had this one place. It was almost obvious. But when the lights were turned out, I could stand there and it was like nobody could find me. And I never lost and I was so happy. And even to this day, I won't tell them where my secret place was. They'll ask me, where were you hiding? And I won't tell them. I'll say, well, I was hiding over here. No, you weren't, you liar. We checked over there. But I had a secret hiding place, a place where just I knew about, where I would be unseen. Have you ever had someone ask you keep a secret? Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, I've got a secret that I need you to keep? Or have you yourself ever trusted someone with information that was secret? I have. I'm sure every one of us have at some point. Most of the time people say, now this is just between us here. You know, don't let this leave this room. Don't tell so-and-so. I've got this secret here. I'm trying to keep this information precious, but I got to let it out and tell somebody. Have you ever trusted someone with a secret? Yeah. You know, when you do that, you're trusting them. It's an act of intimacy, because you're making yourself vulnerable, where you're trusting just them. It's not something for the rest of the world to know about. It's just for them. And just for you, and it creates a bond between you, because now I know and you know that we have something that nobody else has. It's a secret. Jesus said, go to your secret place. Go to the room in your house and shut the door where no one else is around. And then talk to God about what you really want. You know, in my life, I've had a lot of things that were big changes that I was going through, like job changes or getting married even. And I would talk to everybody else about it before I talked to God. I would go around, I'd ask this person, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I'll ask Marie. Marie would say, have you prayed about it? I'd say, well, yeah. No. Or I say, well, I've kind of been talking about it in my head to God. I guess that's kind of praying. No, it ain't. Praying is when you dedicate time where you spend with Him, where you sit down and you say, this is your time and my time together, and no one else matters. This is our time, Lord. We're going to do this right now in private. That's called intimacy. I think a lot of times families are ripped to shreds in this country because there's no intimacy between what happens in their home. What happens in their home becomes common knowledge for everybody. What happens between a husband and a wife becomes common knowledge for everybody. It's done in front of the kids. It's done in front of the family members. Everybody has their hand in the pot. Nothing is kept intimate. Therefore, the relationships are strained. You need moments of intimacy with God. Just like you need moments of intimacy with your spouse, you've got to have time and place to speak to them. You need intimacy with your children. Do you have one-on-one FaceTime with your kids, where you just look them in the eye and you talk to them like they're real people? Because they are. Even though they're strange, they're real. You know, God desires our intimacy. He desires a time where we commune with Him. Psalm 32, verse 7, the psalmist writes, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. We used to sing a song called, You're My Hiding Place. Do you remember that song? What an awesome song. It was one of my favorite songs. You are my hiding place, God. I can go to you when I can't go to anybody else. I can go to you. And I can trust you with it, because you're not going to go around telling everybody. Psalm 25, verse 7. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. In His secret place. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. The secret place, or the hiding place referred to here, is both physical and spiritual. Jesus said, for example, in Matthew 6:6, go to the inner room in your house and shut the door. It's not just a spiritual thing. You have to physically carve out space for God in your life. go in that room and shut the door. Who saw that? What's that? What's the movie? War Room. War Room. Where that lady went in there and she put up her prayer request. It's a good movie. You should watch it. You have to set aside that time. It doesn't come naturally. Trust me. How many people in here right now feel like you just had a busy week? Raise your hand if you've just had a busy week. What about last week? Was the week before that, was it busy? What do you think next week's going to be? Busy. Do you ever see busy stopping? No. You have to stop it. You have to say, this is my time for you, Lord. You know, one of the things I'm most ashamed of, I had a job at the Christian school as a principal. For 3.5 years I've been there. And all this spirituality all around, but very, very low percentage of my time was spent in prayer. Because I was busy. This has to be done and that has to be done. And every once in a while, God would jerk my chain and say, get in the prayer room. I'd go down. We had an actual prayer room. I'd go down to the room and I would shut the door and I'd lay on my face on the floor and I would pray. Sometimes for 10 minutes, sometimes for 2 hours. Just depended on the need. But He made me get in those spots. I wish I'd have done it more. I would have avoided more conflict if I'd have done that. We're told to physically carve out a space. Why? Because solitude is needed. You have to be able to push everybody else aside in your life and carve out this space for God. If you can't do it, how's your intimacy going to be? Are you going to have intimacy with Him? Probably not. You have to push everybody else aside. It's kind of like here. You know, here when we're singing praise and worship songs, I typically close my eyes. If I know all the words, I'll close my eyes. Why do you think I close my eyes? Because I don't want to see what everybody else is doing. This is not the time for me to play with a baby. This is not the time for me to talk to my neighbor. This is not the time for me to write a note to somebody else. This is not the time for me to look around. This is not the time for me to do any of that. This is the time for me to worship my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the time for me to phase it out, phase everything else out, and get one-on-one with Him. Sometimes we cheapen it, though, you know, because we fall, you know, we're walking in this flesh, and the flesh wants to be distracted. You know, the flesh doesn't always want to submit to spiritual things. Sometimes we want to talk to our neighbor. Sometimes we want to look around and be nosier. Sometimes we want to do things that are other than what we should be focused on and doing. I'm guilty. Physically isolating ourselves at times. Did Jesus do this in the Garden of Gethsemane? You betcha He did. You guys pray over here. You guys come with me. And then He went a little farther. He had 12. One of them left. He was a traitor, so He had 11. He took those 11. Of those 11 He had left, He left 8 of them here. Took Peter, James, and John a little bit further. You guys pray here. And He went a little further. Why? He needed a moment of intimacy and clarity. And what was His prayer during that time? For God's will to be done. He was struggling in His flesh. Jesus Himself, struggling. He needed intimacy. Do you and I need intimacy? 100%. Intimacy is not only getting away physically, but it's also spiritually. Psalm 91 pretty much is dealing completely with the spiritual side. It's speaking of a dwelling place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. You know, when you're dwelling somewhere, you're always there. It reminds me of the verse that says, pray without ceasing. You know, that doesn't mean I walk around all day and I never stop talking to myself and talking to the Lord. It means that I pray. I'm in a constant attitude of prayer. That's hard. You know why it's hard? We get distracted. We're called to dwell in that secret place, not just visit it. You know, most of the time, here's truth be told, most of the time when I get intimate with God, it's when I want something or when I need something. Very rarely is it to praise Him. Very rarely. Very rarely is it just to sit and listen. You know, I have friends that the only time they want to talk to me is when they want to talk. And they come and they unload on me for 2 or 3 hours and then they're gone. I don't see them, hear from them for a long time, and then the next thing I know they're in some new crisis and right back they come. That's how we treat God. It's annoying to me. I don't know about y'all. I'm annoyed with it. But this is how God probably feels at times. Why don't you come and talk to me anytime? Why does it always have to be when you're in crisis mode? We're called to dwell there. It's also interesting that in Matthew 6, the whole thing is diving into issues of the heart. Do you do things, say things, so that you can be seen and heard and gain the approval of people? Or do you do things because God is motivating that behavior? It's an issue of the heart. God is interested in the real you. Not the fake you, but the real you. Jeremiah 17, verse 10, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind. Romans 8, 27, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Revelation 2, 23, when talking to the church of Thyatira, it says, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds. God's desire is to know you, but not the fake you, the real you. He's not interested in the fake you. You give that person to everybody else. He's interested in the real you. Who are you really? Who am I really? There's a section of Scripture where God, where Jesus is completely just laying out the scribes and Pharisees. It's like 7 woes, I think. 7 or 8 woes He gives them. But it's, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And I used to preach this sermon every time I got to the word hypocrite, I would change that word to Roy. But I think we could all do that. Because so many times we go contrary to who we should be and we default back to a base nature. Interestingly, the church of Thyatira, they were called out for sins, the sins of following Jezebel, the Bible says, which was sexual immorality, idolatry, and non-repentance. Non-repentance. When God chastises you over a thing, do you repent? It takes these moments of intimacy with Him so we can properly even discern His voice. There's times where it's really hard to tell the difference between the voice of God and Satan. And the only way to know is to search Him out. And the only way to do that is make time for it. He desires to know you. And He also desires that you'd get to know Him. You know, we can get to know Him very easily just by studying His Word. And then when His Holy Spirit comes in, His Holy Spirit continually teaches us the way to go. It's interesting, even this notion of salvation in Romans 10, it all boils down to the heart. It says, with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. It's not just words. It's not just thoughts. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. With who you really are, the inner man, who are you really? God wants to know that He has you, does He? Do you spend your time searching after Him? I'm going to read through this again, and I want you to see where you fall here with Him. Okay? Matthew 6, take heed that you do not know that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. You want to know what one of my favorite things in the world to do is? When I do something good, I like to tell people about it. Why do you think that is? We are selfish by nature. We want people to like us. We want people to praise us. Even though I know this scripture, and a lot of times I'll have this voice in my head saying, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. What do? I say it anyway. Because sometimes I desire the approval of people more than the approval of God. Verse 2, look at it. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. They have their reward. What does it mean, don't sound a trumpet? Is that a literal trumpet? Or is it, hey, look at what we got. We got, okay, this week I've got, you know, I've got this and this and this and this to do. And, you know, oh, well, poor Roy, look at all he's doing for the kingdom. God knows the motives and the intents of our heart. He knows what we're after, you see. We need to be after Him. After Him in everything we do. And it can't happen unless we've carved out some secret place time. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who's in secret will Himself reward you openly. Have you carved out some time for just you and Him, where He can teach you, He can instruct you, He can show you His path for you? I don't do that well enough in my life. I'm the worst one. I stay busy with all kinds of stuff. Watch me, I'm about to sound my trumpet, you know? I stay busy all the time. I don't make time for my relationship with God. And you know what suffers because of that? My relationship with God. My spiritual maturity suffers. My relationships with my family suffer because I'm not in a right set of intimacy with my Heavenly Father. I can't be a good earthly father or earthly husband or earthly pastor or earthly principal or earthly whatever. I can't do it because my intimacy with whom it matters most is lacking. Do you see? That relationship, that one relationship, is more important than all the rest put together. But sometimes we give it the least amount of time. My desire for this church is that we grow up spiritually, right? We can't grow up spiritually doing the same things we've always done. What do you call that? Insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? You want to grow in your life? You want to have victory over the situations in your life, not saying that they're not going to come against you, because they will. But if you want to live victorious, you've got to get some intimacy with Jesus Christ. You have got to train yourself. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind unless you spend time with the one who created it? You've got to make everything brand new in your life, and He'll do it for you, but you've got to spend the time with Him. Time is our most precious resource here on this planet. Did you know that? It's not money. It's not anything. It's your time. And you notice as people get older and their time is running out, things become more and more precious to them. I know when my father was passing, those last couple days that I got to talk to him were more precious to me than anything else in the world. I gave up going to work. I gave up doing this and that. I made sure that I got some time to go see him. Why? Because time was so precious. I knew I just had a little bit with him. I had all these years before that I could have spent time with my father, and I didn't. I was too what? I was too busy. Then when it got down to the end, I regretted that I didn't spend the time. Spiritually speaking, same thing. We've got all this time to spend with our Heavenly Father, but most people, they only really care and consider their eternity and all this kind of stuff when they can see that their time is quickly running out. Where are you at right now? Have you spent some time with Him this week? Have you spent some time with Him this morning? And I'm not talking about just praying over breakfast. Sometimes we do that like it's a vain repetition. When I was growing up, my little brother had the best prayer of the whole household. He'd say, bless, amen. I thought, what? Bless what? You know, you see, at least say the food, bless the food, amen. But he'd just say, bless, amen. And mom would say, look at that boy, how good he prays. And I thought, no. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. You know, we'd say these things. Sometimes we get into these vain, repetitious prayers. Lord, thank You for this chocolate piece of cake that I'm about to eat. And he's probably sitting there thinking, don't ask me to bless that. You know what that is. It's a tater tot or whatever, you know. I'll bless the cabbage and the broccoli and all that stuff. Brussels sprouts, yuck. Thank You, Lord, for the Brussels sprouts, even though I don't eat them. Have you spent your time with Him, or is it all superficial? Do you talk to Him, or is it superficial? Do you have, young people, do you have a prayer life, an actual prayer life, where you spend time in quiet talking to the Lord? Do you actually have time in your day carved out for that? It will change your life if you make time for that. My desire here is that we live faithfully for the Lord, that we grow up in these areas. I want us all right now, just right where you're at. This is not an altar call moment. Just everybody just close your eyes. Push out all distractions. And just right there quietly in your seat, just spend time with our Heavenly Father. Spend time in a secret place where just you can be very vulnerable and open to Him. Nothing else matters right now in this moment. Our dinner plans, where we're going after church, our financial situation. In this moment right here, nothing else matters. Just this one-on-one time with Him. Be open and honest and vulnerable with Him. Spend some time just thanking Him. Look around your life at all the blessings He's given you. Things in this world that other people kill for that we have and take for granted. We've got it made. Father God, we just come to You right now. We just submit our lives to You. We want to faithfully follow what Your Word says for us to do. Give us a heart for that secret place You talk about all throughout Scripture. From the Old Testament all the way up to the book of Revelation. Give us a heart to spend time with You. You are the source of life. You are our righteousness. Everything we have is wrapped up in You. I thank You for this moment where we can just be quiet here before You pushing everything else aside, and opening up our hearts and minds to you so that you can search them out, so that you can turn us where we need to be turned and push us when we need to be pushed. We thank you so much for the wonderful gift of salvation that you've offered up for all of us. We thank you for feeding us every week. We thank you for our homes, our vehicles that get us wherever we want to go. We thank you for the ability to have pleasures here that many people throughout the world, billions of people, don't get the opportunity to have. We thank you for family. We thank you for church. We thank you for the freedom to worship in the manner in which we choose. Lord, we're just thankful here in this moment. Father, I ask that you give each one of us today, just stamp it in our hearts right now while we're focusing in on you. Just stamp it on our hearts with your Holy Spirit that we need to carve out time to do this with you every day. Just time to meet with you in the secret place. We can pour ourselves out to you, be completely vulnerable and transparent with you, and then receive your encouragement and your correction and respond to it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit in our lives to move us where we need to move. We love you, we praise you, we give you glory for all things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, thank you for coming. I'll do the announcements here. We've got the ladies' Bible study tomorrow night. So ladies, Trish Worley will be teaching.